2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
To the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Come check us out at DFSArmy.com. We have got a lot in store for this upcoming 2018 season. We are just coming off of one of the biggest wins of all time that we have ever had. We just had a member take home $250,000 on FanDuel football, and that was just amazing. We had a $150,000 winner earlier in the year, but this is, a quarter of $1 million. That is just life-changing money, and we've seen it over and over with the NASCAR and NBA seasons. We've had multiple $50,000 winners, just many DFS Army members. That process is coming through. Our tools are bringing people home life-changing money. You can come check out all of our content at DFSArmy.com. And we've got you covered no matter what sport you're playing, be it basketball, hockey, soccer, NASCAR, golf, you name it. We are covering it. We've got experts in every sport and all sorts of amazing tools to help you build better lineups and help you bring home that life-changing money. Let's get it in this 2018 season. Be sure to use promo code TACO on signup. You can use the link in the description here if you're on iTunes. Or whatever podcast provider you are getting it from, YouTube, whatever the case, look in the description. We're going to have a link for you to come check us out. We are one of the coolest environments for the DFS industry. Our chat is amazing. You can come talk to me whenever you want. Just go on and get signed up at DFSArmy.com. All right, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, it's time to look into the Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. And this is the only par 73 golf course that we have on the entire PGA Tour, so it plays by far the easiest of any course by a large margin. Plenty of par 5s, excruciatingly wide fairways. Fairways are much, much wider than at any other golf course. And with only 34 golfers in the field, it should make for a pretty interesting no-cut game theory sort of slate. And even though we have several of the biggest golfers in the world, some of the top names in golf, it's still pretty much anyone's field. With a small field like this, you'd be surprised at who ends up taking home these kinds of events. Although recently it has been your bigger names like Justin Thomas. Jordan Spieth just absolutely crushed. A couple of years ago he finished 8 strokes ahead, ending with a score of minus 30, and you're going to see the winning score be around minus 20 to minus 30. That was kind of an extreme example there, but scoring will be aplenty, and that is the main thing that we are going to focus on. We want our bombers, absolutely, probably more than at any course in golf, because fairways are so wide, they're so generous. You just need to bomb it out there, and birdie or better percentage also is going to be a huge factor. And this is where the field-adjusted statistics really come into play. You can see on the split section of the research station, you can see everyone's short, medium, and long-term statistical measures. And short-term would be the last 3 months or so, with medium being about the last six months, and long-term being since this tournament last year. And you can see who's been doing well recently, but the overall scores that are on the main sheet here are going to be weighted more recently, but taking everything into account. And we actually have about 8 plus tournaments of data for everyone in this field, except for Austin Cook, who just recently won the RSM Classic. We've only got a few tournaments worth of data with him, and I think he's going to be a popular name, but outside of him, we're going to have tons of data to work with. And a lot of the field is only going to be either looking at all of last year's cumulative numbers or the premature numbers that have been posted from the three or four swing events in the swing season, the October and November events, which are mainly scrub events, and also a lot of them did not have ShotLink data, so really only got data from like the RSM Classic, OHL Classic, and the Shriners. So the statistics are still very shaky for a lot of people, and people may not be looking at the right numbers. You're looking at some very exaggerated numbers from the last few weeks, so we can use that to gain a bit of an edge. Also, on the DraftKings app, it only shows about the last 2 or 3 months worth of recent form. So I added some extra form into the research station this week to help give you a longer term view of form going all the way back into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So just be mindful of that. We're going to mostly be looking at people statistically here, and really a lot of the people, especially in like your higher dollar tournaments, they know all of these guys up and down. We're not really tricking anyone. There will be a few names like your Patton Kizzires or your Cameron Smiths who have been super hot lately, which should get some extra ownership headed their direction. But we can really use the ownership data for this week and ownership projections to make some sharp pivots, and that's the way I'm looking at this slate a lot, especially with there only being 34 players. Just fading one key guy could separate you from about a third of the field, since these guys could reach ownership levels of 30 to 40% pretty easily. Identifying who that's going to be, however, is the tricky part, but I'm going to break down all of these players for you. I think I can run through the entire field here with how abbreviated it is, and some of these guys being just guys that won scrub events during a major that technically got to come up here, like DA points. You know, he's not going to do anything, but you got about 30 legitimate golfers here and probably about 10 golfers that you consider some of the best in the world. So that instantly creates quite a huge jump in odds. This is very easy to see if you look at the research station. Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka are all at around 12-1 odds or better, with a huge drop-off down to Mark Leishman there at 23-1 odds. And you kind of see that second plateau of players going down through the 8K range. And then there's quite another decent drop-off there for the... So the guys are really tiered. There seem to be about four tiers. The top elite tier, that second tier, which is a bit bigger of a drop-off than on most normal tournaments. And then you get down to the mid-range tier, where there are about 15 or so golfers, and then just the garbage tier. So we'll go through everyone here, through all these tiers. Starting off with Justin Thomas, last year's winner at this event. He won by 3 strokes. And since then, he's won 4 tournaments and a FedEx Cup championship. The guy's a beast. He just won the CJ Cup Classic over the swing season. And he's just been an absolute beast. He's your champion. He's probably, he might be pound for pound the number one golfer in the world right now. I know he's ranked number 3 in the official world golf rankings. But just due to how the ranking system is, I bet you in a couple of months he'll take that number one spot. And he is just absolutely on fire. He can finish really poorly. We saw him in 2016 finish 21st out of like 25 golfers. So he does have quite a big downside. We even saw him missing cuts during the regular season, but he's got so much win equity and his driving distance is just incredible, like top tier, right there with Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka near the top of the field. He's got to be a huge consideration. He's going to be popular. All of these guys are going to be popular, of course, since you can afford these 11K guys on DraftKings pretty easily. And the story is quite different on FanDuel, where they've changed their product, actually. They went from 8 to 6 golfers, and Justin Thomas would be 12,200 over there, which is actually cheaper than both Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth, so you figure that he'll be even more chalky over there. But on DraftKings, he's going to be right there with Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler as perhaps one of the highest owned players on the entire slate, because everyone's going to have like one of those three top guys. I could definitely see that. Those three have just been in immaculate form the last season overall, but those three especially have been in very, very good short-term form. I know Justin didn't do that great at the Hero World Golf Classic, but I don't really care too much about that tournament, to be honest. It was fun to see Tiger back out there, but I wouldn't be worried about a poor performance in a tournament like that. So Justin Thomas, I like him a lot. His poor driving accuracy compared to the likes of Spieth and Fowler will absolutely be mitigated here. I kind of like for him to repeat. I don't know how I feel about him versus Spieth. Right now, the odds have Spieth as a slight favorite, so he'll probably be a little bit more popular on DraftKings than Justin Thomas, but I don't know. I think right now everyone realizes that he is probably the highest actual like chance of winning, just with how often he wins nowadays. It's really up between him and Spieth. The odds do have it exactly right here, even though Fowler has the hottest like super short-term form. This really is, I think, going to come down to Spieth versus Thomas. You saw it last year. Maybe one guy will get hot, but if I were to, you know, someone put a gun to my head, I'd probably roll with Justin Thomas as my winner. And I don't know personally if I'm going to take too big of a stand on that. I'm probably going to just try to go to the field with like the top studs here, since it's really hard to justify a fade with anyone in the top like three or four at least. But you know, you can definitely pick one of these guys and just fade them and hope they finish like 10th or something, and that would be great. You can definitely do that. Thomas, he doesn't have the best floor. His floor wouldn't be anywhere near as high as like Spieth or Fowler, I think. So he might actually be the target to fade there too. I just really like his driving distance at this course setup, and I love his par 5 scoring, his birdie or better percentage. I mean, all the guys at the top have great birdie or better percentage, but I can see Thomas just laying in the birdies. So he's definitely going to get some ownership from me. On to Spieth there at 10,900 on DraftKings, 12,300 on FanDuel. He's played here three times and has never finished worse than third. Won here in 2016, like I said earlier, by 8 strokes. Yeah, he's just been crushing it. His last 4 tournaments, he's finished top 7. Yeah, he's really good. He's really, really, really good. He's Jordan Spieth. I mean, he's the truth. I think he's the leader in this field in birdie or better percentage. He did lead the tour at birdie or better percentage last year, so yeah, that's the name of the game this week. Jordan Spieth is the guy you're going to get those birdies from, and he'd probably be the one I'd be the most scared to fade, honestly, out of Thomas, Spieth, and Fowler. Yeah. He in cash, I'd probably roll Spieth, honestly. That's all put up. But Justin Thomas and GPP, Jordan Spieth and cash, that's gonna how I'm going to kind of roll with it. Maybe see if I can cram him and Fowler together for cash games at least. You don't want to get too crazy with it. Spieth just has a much higher floor, in my opinion, just with his history here. And he's just been a beacon of consistency, and he's going to continue doing that. I think he wants to get back on top and win himself another FedEx Cup. I actually see a really good season from Spieth in 2018. On to Ricky Fowler, who's going to be the flavor of the month. 3 top 2 finishes in his last 3 events, not counting the Tour Championship. Just won the Hero last week. Was actually not even in contention until Charlie Hoffman just blew up in a major way on that final round. And Fowler was nasty. He put in 8 birdies in the first 9 holes. Just absolutely crushed it. Posted a 61 to win the tournament. And I think he honestly could have put up more than that. But when you're leading a tournament and it's the last few holes, you're going to play it super safe. I bet if he kept his mentality of the first 9 holes there, I think he would have been able to perhaps put up a 59. So he's absolutely locked in. He's played here twice, in 2016, 2013, finishing 5th and 6th So there are really no concerns here. He's one of the few guys on the slate that actually ranks positive, quite positive, in every single statistic. He's just a above average golfer in every way. Good mixture of driving distance and accuracy. Longer than Spieth, but definitely not nearly as long as Thomas. So I like Fowler for cash as well, along with Spieth. That's really how I see these top three guys going in, although I would definitely prefer Fowler more as a fade than Spieth, because I think he's going to garner more ownership at 10,500 compared to Spieth's 10,900. And I think he has a bit lower of a floor. I could see him having a really bad round. He tends to have those even when he's in really good form. With Spieth, we don't quite see that as often. So on to Dustin Johnson, who's one of the players that has a big difference in their DraftKings and FanDuel price. On DraftKings, he'd be 10,300. FanDuel, 12,500, by far the most expensive player on the board. So that makes me want to play him on FanDuel, definitely. He's going to come with lower ownership than the top three guys. And on DK, I think he's going to be... I'll have to look into who the touts are all touting here. It's still Monday, actually, at the time I'm recording this. So I haven't been able to see who's all on who, but I think that DJ could possibly get talked up. But as of right now, I'd guess that he kind of goes under the radar. He performed really poorly at the Hero, finishing 14th out of 18 golfers. And he's won at the Northern Trust, but since then it's been relatively shaky, at least by Dustin Johnson standards. But nonetheless, it's a par 73 course with tons of par 5s. He's the best driver of the ball in the PGA. It's Dustin Johnson. I know he kind of cooled off a bit after that super hot start to the season last year and the incredible 2015-2016 seasons he had. And I could see him running away with this one, definitely. But I'm not as thrilled about the DJ play as Fowler, Spieth, and Thomas when ownership's not into account. If people aren't on DJ and people are talking him down, I'd be more likely to play him, and I am more likely to play him on FanDuel than DraftKings because of the pricing. And that's it for the 10,000-plus guys. There's a bit of a drop down to Hideki Matsuyama at 9,800, 11,700 on FanDuel. He's done very well here, second and third in his two events here at Kapalua. He's always been a guy that's gotten hot during the swing season. We saw it last year when he had like those 5 wins in the span of a few months. And he had been struggling late into the season last year on the FedEx Cup, but we saw him do pretty well at the Hero. It's been kind of quiet. He's had a big layoff, so I don't really know what to expect from Hideki, but this really is a course that he should tear up. I know his driving distance isn't quite as good as like Dustin Johnson, but it's about on par with Ricky Fowler. And the birdie or better percentage stat for him, like his birdie or better percentage stat kind of dropped off quite a bit from where we're used to seeing him. We're used to seeing him at an elite level, and it's come down quite a ways. Same with Dustin Johnson in comparison to Fowler, Spieth, and Thomas. They seem to be kind of light years ahead of these guys at this point when it comes to birdie scoring. But any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Hideki could definitely get it going and run away with it. I don't like it as much this year as I would have liked at this time last year. But, however, I do feel like the field will kind of be with me here, and he goes a bit under-owned in comparison to all the guys around him. Of all the elite guys, I think that it's either going to be him or Koepka as the lowest-owned. Not sure yet. We'll definitely know more about this and adjust the ownership projections as the week goes by and we start to get an idea of who people are talking up in the public. A guy that the public always loves, no matter what, would be Jon Rahm at 9,500. He's fresh off a European Tour win. He had basically taken the swing season off of the PGA, gone to the Euro Tour, made every cut, coming fresh off of that win. It makes sense for him as a Spaniard to spend some time in Europe, and he did very well in the FedEx Cup playoffs, finishing 5th at the BMW and 4th and 3rd at the Dell Technologies Championships and Northern Trust. So had quite the playoffs. He kept that steam rolling overseas. He comes in here with a pretty cheap price for him, $9,500. You know he absolutely crushes the ball off the tee. Best in the field at strokes gained off the tee. And even though he has a driving distance comparable to Brooks or Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, he's the only one of those players that actually ranks positively to the field in driving accuracy. And I know that you can really spray it off the tee here. And, you know, perhaps maybe his accuracy won't help him quite as much here, but still, strokes gained off the tee is the name of the game here at Kapalua. And he's always going to be one of those guys that people think of when people see Bombers course. So I expect him to be popular, and he's really had a safe floor. He rarely has those events where he goes out and misses the cut or does really poorly, puts a bunch of bogeys. He's a pretty safe option. I really do like him for cash as well. I mean, really, I like almost all of these top stud guys in cash. It's really easy to like everyone Brooks and up in this field. And heck, on to Brooks. He actually has slightly better Vegas odds right now than John Rahm, but he's $100 cheaper on DraftKings, $9,400, $400 more expensive on FanDuel, though, where he is $11,400. I think he's going to be lower owned on FanDuel for sure. And it kind of makes me like him. He has extreme distance. He actually ranks number one in the field in driving distance on the field-adjusted statistics. So, obviously, that puts him square in my vision. I know he finished dead last at the Hero, but I don't really care. I hope everyone else sees that and doesn't play him, because I'm going to be on Brooks. I'm definitely going to be on Brooks. I think he's the best ownership play of all of these guys, outside of maybe Hideki, but I could see him being the lowest owned. $9,400 is a fair enough price, and I could definitely see a tournament out of him where he doesn't finish top three, but still scores like a top three guy on DraftKings, just because that's the kind of player he is, really. He's always been great at birdie or better percentage, and historically he's been the one to target at these no-cut events. So, love me some Brooks. Going down to $9,000, $10,000 on FanDuel, you've got Mark Leishman, who's been super hot fire. Just super, super hot fire ever since the Dell Technologies Championship. He did miss the cut at the Northern Trust, which is somewhat embarrassing because the field isn't even that big. But since then, he won the BMW Championships, finished third at the Dell Technologies Championship, and played an event in the swing season, the CJ Cup, and almost won the thing, finished second. I do believe that was in a playoff as well. So Leishman's been really consistent. He's seemed to have improved quite a bit over the second half of the season last year. He became a real top three threat, where he had never really been that guy before, had always just been a consistent, solid cash play. You know, one of those guys that you're always going to lock into your cash lineup, but he started to show some real upside, but his price has jumped up along with it. He's the first guy in that second group of guys, the 20 to 30 to 1 odds range, from Leishman on down to like Pat Perez, and he has the best odds of anyone in that group by a little bit. Him and Cantlay are just a little bit ahead of the field there, but Leishman is the most expensive. He's $9,000, and it's hard to take him over Brooks at $9,400, who has like twice the chance of winning if you look at implied odds. And the people looking on the app are only going to see these most recent events for him, where he's finished like second, first, third. So he's going to be a popular name, I bet. Although anyone looking at odds to pricing will probably fade him. So I kind of lean more towards fading him, because I really do think that these Super Bombers are going to be taking it. And Spieth. I mean, he has a similar like driving distance stat to Spieth, but he doesn't have the Spiethiness about him, you know. He's a really mediocre driver. Gets more of his scoring done with greens regulation, strokes gained approach, and that's just not going to be quite as important here. So I really can't justify playing him over like Brooks or John Rahm at quite a similar price. If you drop down $300, you're going to find one of the least popular players on the slate, Brian Harman at $8,700, with Patrick Cantlay $100 cheaper than him. that is going to be like the, he may be like a supreme pivot play, honestly, because we have seen him post these top fives. He has a really high upside, but he also has a really, really low floor. His odds at 30-1 are significantly worse than Leishman and Cantlay's. So he's going to be like in the teens in ownership. He's going to be the first guy, you know, all the 8,000 plus guys to have a really low ownership. And I think he can take advantage of that. Just, he's not really fit for the course at all either. He's a really short driver with lots of accuracy, a very good putter. And it's not what we're looking for here at all, really. So if you play him, it's just going to be a pivot straight off of Cantlay. That's the justification for it. And he's quite a bit cheaper on FanDuel, but still kind of pricey there when you compare him to other guys in that price range. $8,600, Patrick Cantlay. He has a chance of being the highest owned player on the board, honestly, with Thomas, Spieth, and Fowler. Kind of, you know, they're so close in value that the ownership's going to be a little bit spread out on top. There's no standout, must-have kind of guy. And I think that might pave the way for Cantlay to be the highest owned player on the board, because he still never missed a PGA Tour cut, at least post-injury. You know, since his return last year, he's made every single cut. Last time we saw him, he was winning the Shriners back in November. $8,600, $9,300 on FanDuel. He's the chalk. In cash, you want to lock him in. He's never missed a cut. I mean, just makes sense. And heck, no matter what, that stat's going to be true next week, because he could finish dead last and it would still count as a cut made for him. And actually has had a poor performance before. Can't remember the exact tournament, but he did have a very poor performance, but it was at a no-cut event. I think it was a WGC, if I'm not mistaken. But Cantlay, he's going, I mean, that's just how I like to approach him. He's really, really safe, but I don't know if he has, I mean, well, I was about to say he might not have the winning upside, although he did win the Shriners. But that was that was a weak field. He's going to have to beat out the likes of Thomas, Spieth, Fowler, DJ, Matsuyama, Jon Rahm. I don't know if he could really crack the top five with all these guys in the field, but, you know, in cash games, he's probably going to be a top 10, not a lock, but a pretty sure bet to finish top 10, top 15 at a really cheap price. I mean, he's been perpetually underpriced. He needs to start getting priced correctly for a guy that just doesn't miss cuts. A guy that was like that for a little while, Xander Schauffele, is at $8,500, $8,700 on FanDuel, which is fairly cheap. He's not been hot. Your man is not hot ever since the FedEx Cup playoffs. He won Rookie of the Year because he had just an absolutely incredible run. Almost won a dang major. I mean, he's had some really solid performances and followed them up with solid performances. Like, they weren't one-offs. He's a really good golfer, and he's got a lot of distance, too. I really do like him for this week, like, statistically. Last time out, though, not hot. Finished 72nd, almost dead last of the people that made the cut at the CJ Cup, and 60th at the Sanderson Farms. So, not a great look for him. I think people are going to be off of him. He's going to have really low ownership. Again, as a guy that's right next to Patrick Cantlay. But if Cantlay is going to have like 30 to 40% ownership and Schauffele is going to be in the teens, I mean, it just seems like one of those situations where you take, you know, it's just like, you know, pot odds in poker, you know, where you think, is Cantlay going to outscore him, you know, 3-1 if his ownership's going to be three times as expensive? And I don't know if that's the case. I mean, Xander's longer off the tee and has a better putter and is right there with him in strokes gained off the tee, greens regulation. I think I like him as a pivot off of Cantlay if you're fading him at GPP. And I actually do like him better than Harmon in that regard because he hits the ball like, I don't know, like 40 or 50 yards longer than him and is a little bit cheaper. And he's going to be low owned. Maybe not on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I can see him being low owned for sure. Kevin Kisner, $8,400, $10,500 on FanDuel. Talk about a difference. He's been kind of up and down after a tremendous start to the season. where we saw him just make cut after cut after cut after cut, constantly finishing top 10, top 20. He's definitely cooled off since then, but we just saw him take fourth place at the RSM Classic. And he's fairly cheap at 8,400, DraftKings at least. And I don't see him being terribly popular. He looked awful at the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He almost finished dead last at the BMW Championships, but I mean, the dude had a good season. Statistically, not a match for the course at all, but with him being an accurate, shorter driver, and that kind of steers me off of him, but you could make the case for him. It doesn't take too many mental gymnastics to make the case for Kisner. I won't be playing him a lot just because I'm going to be favoring the Bombers, but everyone else can be doing that too, so he's going to get some low ownership. Daniel Berger, $8,200, 10,300 on FanDuel, so pretty similar to Kevin Kisner there. Hasn't been terribly great in the last few events we've seen him out. He went to that CJ Cup event and finished 54th, 14th at the Hero. So he hasn't shown any upside recently in the last few months. And his odds are significantly worse than Kisner's, Schauffele's, Cantlay's, Perez. And yeah, I think a lot of people are just going to save the $200 and go Pat Perez, honestly. So if Perez gets, starts getting talked up like crazy, then I might consider Daniel Berger as like a nice pivot. But something I don't like about him is in the past, at one of these no-cut events, just out of the blue, no injury or anything, he has taken like one shot off of the tee and then just withdrawn. He's done that before. So that kind of makes me a little bit sketchy with him because, I don't think that's going to happen. There's just a chance because he's done it in the past and he hasn't really shown any upside recently. And with Berger, I always liked his driving distance, but it's really gone away. Look at the field-adjusted statistics. You can see he is 0.00 dead even to the field. Just absolutely average driver. And driving accuracy is a bit under average, so his approach game is the only part of his game that really sticks out as a high point, which is always nice, but I think you're going to need to bomb the ball off the tee a little bit more than he's shown recently. I don't know what happened to his driver. When he was a rookie, he looked like he was going to be one of the top drivers on tour, but that's kind of gone to the wayside. So Berger, not nearly as popular as guy we're about to talk about here, Pat Perez, the most improved player of the year. If that was an award, that would absolutely be the case with Perez last year. He did a complete 180 in his career. 2 years ago, he was missing every single cut, no matter what. But starting the swing season of last year, he turned it around, got a win, played in this event last year, finished tied for third with Jordan Spieth. And since then, he's been a beast. Non-stop, just great performances, like a complete 180. A lot of people point out the fact that almost directly correlated with his switch of equipment. And, I believe in the whole PGX narrative or whatever, but I mean, we have seen another guy switch to PGX and actually get a win last year. He's in this event this week, Billy Horschel, but you really can't say the same with him because he's kind of gone off of a cliff. But Perez has been able to keep it very consistent. We saw him finish 5th at the CJ Cup, 6th at the Dell Technologies, 12th at the BMW Championship. He's going to be obviously a strong cash gameplay, but he's definitely one of those guys that I could see myself fading for ownership because I think he's almost going to be Cantlay level, not really Cantlay level, but he's going to be up there. He's very cheap at $8,000. $9,400 on FanDuel is a little bit fairer because he should be priced above Brian Harman for sure. But on DraftKings, he just seems like too obvious of a play for people to stick into their lineup. So I might try to go a different direction here. I just don't like any of the guys to pivot off of in this range, honestly. If you need a guy between $8,400 and like $7,700, honestly, Perez is just by far the best candidate. Just being truthful there. So that might lead to me playing a lot more Perez than I had intended. Just because he's really in a kind of a salary island. that's going to make him popular, but it's really going to kind of force your hand if that's how much you have left in your lineup, because he's just a better play than all the guys around him, and he had that success here last year. He's not long off the tee, though, so if there's any reason to fade him, that would be the reason, but every other part of his game is just clicking. Second thoughts, actually, you know, his birdie or better percentage, according to the field-adjusted statistics, slightly under average, so I guess he really is someone that is more of your safe par maker, someone that's not going to get a ton of bogeys, but not your high upside like birdie maker guys. Actually, I'm kind of leaning more of a fade with him. I think I'm going to have to play like some extra Berger, Kisner, or Schauffele or something to get off of him, because I really don't like the plays around Pat Perez, especially right underneath him. I might just try to avoid this salary level, and I think a lot of people are going to be doing the same thing, kind of go more of a stars and scrub sort of roster construction. But yeah, underneath Pat Perez, you have Russell Henley at 7,800 and Kevin Chappell at 7,700. Someone must have told FanDuel that Kevin Chappell is a good golfer, because he was like permanently underpriced on FanDuel for the entire year, pretty much. Like, he was someone their algorithm just hated no matter what. Now he's $9,600 on FanDuel, $7,700 on DraftKings, and significantly higher price than Russell Henley, who's $8,800 on FanDuel, despite them having the exact same Vegas odds. So that's interesting. How FanDuel kind of did that. But I think they've redone their entire algorithm and everything, because their scores, or their salaries, I mean, their salaries just look way different than what we're used to. You're kind of used to seeing the same guys at the top and bottom. And outside of a few names, there aren't as many like super obvious plays on FanDuel as we would find in the past, with that being the issue. But I don't like Henley or Chappell. To be honest, I guess I like Chappell more than Henley because of that driving distance and all that. But both of them have really low floors. Henley has done nothing recently. I think he might be one of the lowest owned golfers in the entire slate, to be truthful. And I don't know. To be honest, I kind of do like Chappell a little bit. He might have to be a guy I play just because his birdie or better percentage is actually fairly decent. It's his putting that's really poor. And that's actually something you kind of want to attack, since putting is so volatile. I mean, we're about to go out to the West Coast, which has that Poa Nua grass that we haven't seen in many a month. Heck, I wish Brant Snedeker was playing this event, honestly. I'm sure I'll be playing him a bunch next week, just because I know he loves that type of grass. But I think that kind of change will be good for guys like Chappell, who can't putt very well. And he's actually the first, like, major example of a poor putter that we've seen of anyone that we've talked about so far. So gonna kind of go down the board a little bit faster here. You have a few guys who are going to be really popular, and they're right next to each other in salary. That would be Cameron Smith at 7,600, Brendan Steele at 7,400, and Patton Kizzire at 7,300. Their salaries are way different on FanDuel, as Smith is 8,200, Steele is 9,000, and Kizzire is going to be the chalk at $7,400 on DraftKings. And their odds are also quite different, with Cameron Smith being 37-1, Steele 47-1, and Kizzire 65-1. Although, as I have it right now, I have their ownership percentage projection all around exactly the same on DraftKings. And I know it doesn't make any sense with the huge differences in odds and whatnot, but Patton Kizzire has been on fire. Finished runner-up at the Sanderson Farms, followed that up with a fourth place at the Shriners, and then qualified for this tournament with a win at the OHL Classic at Mayakoba. Decent driver of the ball. I don't like his birdie or better stat, honestly. I don't like him in general. I think I'm going to be fading this guy, to be quite truthful. He seems like a trap. I know that he's won recently, and he's had some very, very good finishes recently, but those were all at scrub events. I missed the cut at the Dell Technologies Championships, at the Northern Trust. Those are strong fields. At the RSM Classic, actually finished 45th. That was his most recent event. everyone's going to be on him. They're going to see his average, you know, DraftKings points per game or whatever from the last three or four tournaments and be like, oh, gosh, this guy's been great. 65-1 odds compared to Smith's 37-1 odds. And yeah, not really feeling it. If you're looking at Steele and Smith here, I like them a lot better. I like Brandon Steele. He's coming off of a win at Sanderson Farms. He actually defended his title there. He's usually a pretty good early season golfer, like much better in the early season than he is in the late season. We've seen this year after year after year with him. So Steele is going to be a guy that I am on for sure in this range. And then Cameron Smith, he's actually been on a roll. He just won the Australian Classic, and he's from Australia. It wasn't called the Classic, I think it's called the Australian Masters. But he'd been over there winning these, you know, one-off tournaments or whatever. His game log looks nice. His Vegas odds are actually a bit better than Steele's. Steele just drives the ball way, way farther than him. And Smith gets a lot of his points from, like, approach and putting, which I just don't value quite as much this week as I would at a normal event. I really like Steele's long driver. He mixes that with some really good driving accuracy. Has excellent green regulation and strokes gained off of the tee stats. And, you know, puts up them birdies. Him and Cameron Smith put up birdies at a similar clip, but they're both significantly better than Kizire. So, I'm sorry, Kizire. You are not my desire. I am pivoting to Steele and Smith. More Steele than Smith. More Smith than Steele on FanDuel, however. Kizire, you kind of have to play on FanDuel, at least in cash, just because his pricing is just off. Anyway, on to a guy that also has his pricing well off on FanDuel, but in the opposite direction. Jason Dufner, he is 7,200 on DraftKings, 9,700 on FanDuel. That is an error. He has not shown anything recently. He has been hot garbage. He started off the season making like 15 cuts in a row or something, but no, he hasn't done anything. Last year, he was terrible at this event. There's just no interest in Dufner for me, and no one's going to own him. So I just don't see him having any sort of upside to be that great of a pivot, to be honest. Moving on to Austin Cook, who's going to be a very popular name, just won the RSM Classic, and is 3-for-3 in cuts on the year. He is not a rookie, actually, even though we have not seen him on the tour. He feels like a rookie, but he is not. He's actually qualified for a few random events in the last few years. We've seen him every now and again. He's been a very hot commodity when he has qualified for these events. He qualified for the Barbasol Championship in 2015, finished 6th. And also that year, he qualified for the Shell Houston Open and was in contention for a while. He ended up finishing 11th, doing really well. Then he went on to have a pretty good web.com season last year, earned his tour card for this season, and we will be seeing a lot of him. He's not the longest off of the tee, but so far his stats have been quite excellent in the fields of birdie or better percentage, strokes gained around the green, looks like a very strong scrambler, and has a very accurate driver. Not the exact set up or looking for this course, so that might make him a fade consideration for me, especially considering how popular he's going to be. I just am really bullish on this guy overall. I think I'll fade him this tournament, but look into him for the next few tournaments if he's going to be this cheap. He's a fair price on FanDuel as well at 7,900. Right underneath him is a nice little pivot in Bryson DeChambeau. I know this is a guy that I've always hated. Has the lowest floor of, like, anybody. He could finish dead last out of nowhere. But he's been pretty good in his last few events. Finished 14th at the OHL Classic, 7th at the Shriners. I did miss the cut at the Sanderson Farms, but it's Bryson DeChambeau. He's going to miss some cuts. His odds are right there with Austin Cook. They're both at around 66-1. And I have their projections at right around the same. I just think he's going to be a little bit lower owned than the hot name Cook. But we'll have to see, you know, where the ownership goes throughout the week and whatnot. And that'll do it for all of the $7,000 golfers. We are on to the scrub range, and we're going to start it off with a guy who, you wouldn't believe it nowadays. Well, I don't know, he's kind of starting to get back into that to that kind of momentum. But this is a guy that won, or not won, but he made 20 cuts in a row last year until he won. Right after he won the tournament that qualified him for this tournament, he kind of fell off a cliff and just missed cut after cut after cut after cut. We've seen him kind of turn it around recently, kind of low-key ever since the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's made, like, I think, like, 7 or 8 cuts in a row. But no big finishes or no real top 5, top 10s or anything like that. I do like how long he is off of the tee, but he was, like, a top 5 driver at the beginning of the year last year. His numbers have kind of settled down quite a bit. He's not posting those, like, huge numbers like he did earlier in the season, but he's still a very long driver of the ball, and he actually hits a lot of greens for someone that drives it drives the ball that far. Scrambling is definitely his weak spot, but at a course like this where it's so easy to keep it in the fairway, I'm not as worried about it. I kind of really do like Swofford. I know that his odds are just terrible. He's at almost 100-1 compared to Cook and DeChambeau's 66. But I also see him being significantly lower owned with a higher upside. He's actually never been that great at par 5 scoring, despite him being so long off of the tee. So that's kind of worrisome. It's just, on a slate like this, you got to think of, like, ownership pivots. They're going to be important. And I kind of like the I like going away from a young guy like Cook for sure and onto a guy that's proven in the past to, you know, be able to make cuts and do well. And I would say win tournaments, but everyone here's won a tournament. And I don't know, I think I'm going to also need him to pivot off of one of the highest projected players in the domination station. That would be Kyle Stanley, $6,800 on DraftKings, $8,600 on FanDuel. That's a bit more fair of a price, but just comparing Vegas odds to Swofford, it's not close. Swofford's 95-1, Stanley is 55-1. So he represents one of the best values and will be kind of a go-to punt. He has only played here once before in 2013. He had an early 2012 victory. I think he actually had a couple of wins in the 2012 season. He had a really, really strong 2012 season. I don't know why I remember that. I just do. I remember seeing him around a lot back then, but he finished dead last here in 2013. Not the longest off the tee. A real driving accuracy specialist. So, honestly, I could see that being a great reason to fade him, but it's just his pricing is just so off here. $6,800 is going to provide so much salary relief. Absolutely not going there on FanDuel, obviously, where he's appropriately priced, but I kind of don't even see him being, like, that highly owned either, because people looking at recent logs won't see anything special, like a 22nd, 19th, 47th. Eh. You know, not anything too special, but I don't know. I'm going to have to see. If he's touted all over the place, I'm definitely going to get off of him just due to course fit here. He's just kind of priced wrongly on DraftKings, which, you know, honestly, DraftKings has put out some pretty tight pricing for this event. I just feel like Stanley should be priced up there with, like, Kizire, Austin Cook, Brendan Steele, those guys. Statistically, he's always been like a greens regulation, approach the green monster kind of guy. Stanley was really someone that was always adored, always underpriced by DraftKings. And even though he wasn't as hot of a name later in the season, I mean, you saw him consistently being one of the top guys in the domination station. And that's the case once again. So if you blindly run it, I guarantee it's going to give you some Stanley, but just take into consideration the fact that he could be a very good GPP fade if you so desire. Now on to some guys I really, really, really don't like. These would be your high withdrawal kind of guys. And on a no-cut event, these high-risk withdrawal people are just... No, you don't even want to mess with them, to be honest. Siwoo Kim. He likes to win tournaments just out of nowhere. He won the freaking Players and won $6 million last year, but you saw him just withdraw from tournament after tournament with lingering back issues and stuff. We saw him finish tied for dead last here at this tournament last year. There's not much to like about him. $6,700 He finished third at the OHL Classic, but outside of that, he has been in miserable form. He has no statistics that pop out as anything relatively good outside of, I don't know, like nothing. He's pretty bad at everything, to be honest. Don't like him at all. And Hadwin had kind of like, you know, Hadwin started the season off last year in a similar fashion to Swofford. He was the absolute week-to-week consistency cash game guy. Why he's $8,800 on FanDuel, I have no idea. That price is unbelievably wrong. No one will own him at all. And shoot, that might be a reason to play him, but I don't think he has any upside whatsoever. He is a big putter guy, big driving accuracy guy. It's not what you want here. It just isn't. $6,500 and $8,300 on FanDuel. You have a must-avoid guy in Billy Horschel. He withdrew from the Shriners with a shoulder injury, and you absolutely cannot risk that at a no-cut event. You just cannot. A withdrawal would give you... It's basically like a missed cut, but if no one else in the field misses the cut, that's just really freaking awful. Those lineups are guaranteed to make you $0, so don't even risk with Billy Horschel. And let's just run through these last few guys here. Jonathan Vegas was the guy that took my foot and just rammed it down my throat last year. I really liked him for his par 5 scoring. He's always had very, very good par 5 numbers, but he finished dead last and just tied with Siwoo Kim. Just god-awful. His form recently could also be considered, or you could just sum it up with god-awful. 61st, 54th, miscut, 63rd, 65th, just no. Oh, God, gross. Grayson Murray at $6,400. He's going to be someone I have some exposure to. Not so much on FanDuel, where he's $8,000, but $6,400 on DraftKings, he's going to be one of my go-to punts. He has no form whatsoever either, with his last three finishes being 76th. So, like, pretty much dead last at a no-cut event almost. Missed cut. And 51st at the BMW Championships. I mean, it's just not good at all. He just has a really long driver, and his birdie or better percentage stat is quite good. So, the pickings are slim down here, honestly. I kind of like mid-range lineups a lot more, and I really don't like going much lower than Stanley because a lot of these guys are really bad. But if I'm going to go down this far, it's going to have to be Grayson Murray because a lot of the guys underneath him are just trash tier. So, yeah, the last five guys on this slate, I would consider them all trashed here. Jonas Blixt, him and Cameron Smith won together at the, I think it was the Zurich Classic, where they played in pairs. He's been in garbage form. Miscut, 64th, miscut, just no, you can't play him. Chris Stroud won, like, the weakest event ever, and his driving distance is abysmal. You do not play him. Also at $6,200, Wesley Bryant, who won, he's a short course specialist. His driving distance is by far the shortest in the field. Based on that alone, you cannot play him. And a guy who's been doing good recently, who will probably be the most popular punt down low, that would be Ryan Armour, $6,100 and $7,000 on FanDuel, dead minimum. He's going to be fairly popular on both sites, just because he's like the only fathomable punt down here, and his driving distance is actually second worst behind Wesley Bryan, so I kind of don't want to play him either. I really don't want to touch any of these guys like $6,400 and down, or $6,500 and down. Might as well include Horschel in that, but I don't like any of them whatsoever. But at least Armour has made three cuts in a row on tour. They've been all scrub events, but I mean, that's something to hang your hat on. And then way down at the bottom of the field, DA points, no. Four missed cuts in a row, no. Just no. Don't play him. So that is all. That is the Century Tournament of Champions. I will see you guys next week. And remember, DFSArmy.com, use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 20% off. And you would love that, because you are definitely going to stay with us, because every time someone signs up, you hear him say, "This place is awesome. I want to sign up for life. This is incredible." And I've talked with so many new recruits that we've had over the football season, and we've got something for everybody. We really do. So I really hope that you enjoy our products. And I hope y'all have a good golf season. This is going to be a great one. I'll see you guys next week at the first real event, the Sony Tournament, or the Sony Open, yes, in Hawaii. And that's one of my favorite tournaments of the year. I'll see you guys then. So until then, peace.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game. We'll be right back.